welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today we come to the end of our sermon series, exploring those liminal spaces as we look forward to celebrating Pentecost next week. The talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James, and is entitled Living with Expectations. Our readings this week are taken from Romans 8, beginning at verses 18, and Acts 1, verses 1 to 11. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Our epistle reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 18. And I'm reading from the Good News version. Paul hadn't visited the church in Rome, but it was his hope to do so soon. And so he sent this very long letter to explain to them what he understood, what it meant to be a Christian and part of the Church of God. Paul writes, "I consider that what we suffer at this present time cannot be compared at all with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. All of creation waits with eager longing for God to reveal his sons. For creation was condemned to lose its purpose, not of its own will, but because God willed it to be so. Yet there was the hope that creation itself would one day be set free from its slavery to decay and would share the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that up to the present time, all of creation groans with pain, like the pain of childbirth. But it is not just creation alone which groans. We who have the Spirit as the first of God's gifts also groan within ourselves, as we wait for God, to make us his sons and set our whole being free. For it was by hope that we were saved. But as we see what we hope for, then it is not really hope. For who hopes for something he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is from Acts, chapter 1. Verses 1 to 11. Jesus is taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart too, the words of, be pleasing to you, Lord. Amen. Just fiddling. Am I on this microphone? Yes? Good, good. I was confused with the mute button. Two things. Unfortunately, I'm not going to comment on Romans 8, but it's a great passage, and a great passage about hope, and it has something to do with our waiting, as we're in this in-between time, and nearly there, which is Pentecost, the birth of the church. The second is, I've just been using this for some months now. Unfortunately, I don't have my jacket normally, so I apologize for it. But actually, this was in the church for, my wife says, maybe a year or two, and then it was poorly hanging there, so I'm using it. So if you recognize it and it's yours, see me after the church. I'll give it back, no problem. But it's great. Yes, there you go. So I don't know if you're aware, but last Thursday was Ascension Day. It's not a day we celebrate particularly in a sense we don't have a bank holiday, but in Belgium there is a bank holiday for Ascension Day, so I was on my phone because it was also my mother's birthday that day, and so I was talking to my family and they were rejoicing because of the birthday, but also because not only was it Thursday, but we call it a bridge, so they get Friday free too, so they get Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, so lots of very happy Belgium there. But Ascension Day is that time we celebrate, the time when Jesus was taken up, or we could say was taken into the full reality of God himself, his sphere of existence. And when we think of heaven, often we think something up there and quite far, but N.T. Wright, a very good theologian of our time, tried really to explain that heaven is not that far. Actually, it interlocks with our reality, but it's God's reality. And Jesus went into God's full reality for a time. He will be back. But during that time, he was preparing his followers to say, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you alone. And in that in-between time, now it's the time when he was going to not be seen in flesh, we could say, in flesh first in his incarnation, but in a sense in flesh in his resurrected body, it was a real body. He wasn't going to be seen in that way. And they have questions. And they're good questions, but they were not the helpful ones. What about our future as a nation? What about Israel's future? What now? And Jesus, in that passage we read, turned their gaze not inward, but outward. His answer wasn't just about them and the nation of Israel, so their immediate concerns. It was about the whole world. It was about mission, and it was about witness. So today I want to explore that, living with expectations as God's Spirit-empowered witnesses. I don't know if you've noticed, but Luke, which is, we believe, the author of this book, he refers to his former book, which would then be the Gospel of St. Luke. And he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, why that Luke says, I wrote about all that Jesus began. Was at the end of his ministry. Why did he not say, I wrote about all that Jesus did teach and say and did? No, he used the word began. And I wonder whether already he signals that Jesus' work hasn't stopped. His ascension was not the end of his ministry. From the very start of the book of Acts, Luke is pointing, I believe, to this reality that Jesus is still working. He is still doing and teaching, but now through a different means, not through his physical body, but through another kind of body. We as a church, we are Christ's body to the world, called to do the same kind of things that Jesus did, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this is echoed with Jesus' own promise in John 14, when he says to his followers that they would not only continue his work, but even do greater ones, greater works, because he was going to the Father and sending the Holy Spirit. We are the continuance of Jesus' story to the world. Jesus hasn't stopped working. He is just working through us, through his church, his body, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So you and I are not called to just be spectators, not even imitators, but vessels, vessels of God's desire and purposes for his world. We are called to be agent of the kingdom. And this idea of agent of the kingdom, sometimes, you know, we're still in a kingdom here, but most places we don't call the country a kingdom. So what do we understand with when we say we are agents of God's kingdom? Well, this idea of God's reign, God's rule. We are under his leadership, and we are there to extend his ways, his way of life into his creation. That's what it means to be agents of the kingdom. What a staggering privilege. What a glorious responsibility. And so first I want to explore that call to witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Not you might, not some of you will, but all of you, you will be my witnesses. Witnessing is not just the task of the minister, not just the task of those maybe who have that special gift of evangelism. It's not the task of those who are in leadership positions, whether it's the children ministry or other kind of oversight in the church. Not the task of just Roger and Rick with the Alpha course. It's the vocation of all of us. But it's not in our own strength. Not only does the Holy Spirit come as a comforter and a helper and a teacher, he also comes in power to empower us to be witnesses. He gives boldness when we feel fearful and timid. He gives clarity to our speech. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with a sense of urgency of God's mission and his desire for us to share what God has done and is doing in our own lives. So a call to witness in the power of the Holy Spirit, a call to all of us. And second, a call to expectant waiting. To the disciples, Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. And the waiting, we've kind of explored that in the past, wasn't idle. They gathered, they prayed, they praised, they listened, they stayed alert. Not true, we don't wait in that sense. The Holy Spirit has come, and any Christian, anyone in Christ has the Holy Spirit. But we must still learn to wait for him, for his way of moving, to pray for his enabling presence, to listen to his directions, to stay alert to his presence. Too often, and I'm guilty of that too often, We rush into action without waiting for power. We plan without properly praying and discerning. We move often by instinct and not insight. We react instead of listening. But God's power is not found in our hustle. It is found in our surrendering. When we say, not my will, individually and as a church, but your will be done. You might be familiar with a renowned Christian preacher, Dr. Charles Stanley. And he had a devotional called Every Day in His Presence. And in one of those devotions, he writes, are you able to say, not my will, but yours be done today, every day? Can you cast yourself wholeheartedly into God's loving care, knowing that what he wants and has for you is far better than what you could ever seek or find for yourself? It's a difficult lesson, to be sure. And yet it is what the Father is always striving to teach you. Complete and unhindered dependence on him and confidence in his love, his wisdom, and his power. Expectant waiting is what we all need for our personal lives and for the life of the church. Not distracted, not restless, but postured to hear and obey. So we looked at the call to witness in the power of the Holy Spirit, the call to be in that posture of listening and waiting and moving through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And third, prayer and praise are the keys in our waiting and listening. We need to have that attitude of prayer and praise constantly as we wait and as we're in that posture of listening. You might be aware that right now, in this time between Ascension and Pentecost, around the world, there is this movement, and it's the 10th year, it's the 10th anniversary of Thy Kingdom Come, a movement that I think I remember was Justin Welby who started. And the vision was, during these times, to focus more intentionally, to pray for our friends, to make a list of 5 people that we know. It could be a neighbor, a colleague, a friend, a family member, the person at the gym, person at your golf club, football club, a person you meet quite regularly when you do your groceries or you walk the dog, anyone that you are regularly in contact with that do not know Jesus. Not people far away, but those that are close that you see and interact with. Can you think of 5? Maybe not quickly now, but maybe can you take the day to think about 5 people that you will be praying this week, that you will commit to pray every day, that you will ask God to open doors, to fill you with his Spirit, to be a witness in your actions, in the way you live your life, but also with your words, that when a door opens, you will be ready to share something of what God is doing, has done in your life, of what you understand of his plans for his world. You might know that I did a weekend away in Belgium early January, and it was that course that we did together as a church, Talking Jesus. And I've introduced the material, and they're doing that course themselves. And it's about growing in confidence and believing that God really wants to use us to be a witness to those places we are living in. And that's the reality, because where God has sent you, whether you're a working person, whether you're in retirement, wherever you are the best person to reach those people. You are the best person to reach those people. They know you. They see you. They experience your life. It's not about being perfect. It's just about being available and expectant and faithful. And following that weekend, which is all about, you know, God will give you opportunities to speak. I then met my whole family for a nice party. And I must confess, I did pray, but I was not very expectant. I must confess, I did pray. And yet, all over the blue, my the partner of my sister, just starting explaining, because I was saying, oh, I know you had really huge struggles with your back for many, many months. He was in great pain, and I was just finding out how it was now. And he said, oh, it's better. But it really made me think about life and about priorities and about meaning. And for half an hour, he was like witnessing about, you know, we need to search for meaning. We need to search for ourselves. Well, yeah, that's true. Things will happen when you start praying. Be expectant. And at the heart of your witness and our witnesses is this powerful truth. I am not yet what God wants me to be, but by his grace, I'm no longer what I used to be. Can you point to some of those things? That you're not anymore what you used to be. Yes, you're not perfect, but God has already done something in your life that shows his grace, his power, his mercy. Can we pray maybe this week, Holy Spirit, fill me and lead me today, every day, make me a witness of Jesus where I live. So to be a witness in the power of the Spirit, to be expectant in our waiting and praying and praising, and finally, to be aware of those distractions and learn to stay focused on the kingdom. Now, the truth is, it's not easy in our world with distractions. Even the disciples, after all that Jesus had taught them, all that they saw, he was promising the coming of the Spirit, they were still thinking about their own country and their own nationality and their own future as a nation of Israel. So, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They were thinking timelines when Jesus was thinking testimony. And don't we do the same at times? We speak more about the future and about when is Jesus coming than being passionate about witnessing and evangelism. We're more eager to debate when he will return than to focus on what he commands us to do until he returns. And the world is overflowing with noise and temptation and countless distractions, and it's all too easy to lose sight of what truly matters. And that's why we must stay spiritually alert and intentionally focused. Our highest call is the same. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be given on top of that. It's possible to fill our lives and the activities even of a church with many good things and still miss the God thing. And Paul addresses this with sobering warnings to the believers in Corinthians when he speaks just as powerfully for us today. He says, each one's work will be tested. It will be tested by fire. And so our prayer should be, Lord, help me to live, to work, to act for something that will last. And maybe three key essentials elements of fruitfulness or transformation are this: Spirit empowered, led by the Spirit, Christ centered, and kingdom aligned living. And I was amazed, I don't know if you've looked, but our worship was really Christ centered, beautiful, about what Christ does in our lives, what he means for us, who he is. And I believe we can expect then to see great fruitfulness when our lives and the life of our church is empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's centered on Jesus, and is aligned with the values of God's kingdom. A well-known in evangelical circle is Rick Warren, who's a pastor in America, grew a church from about a few hundred to 10,000 people. Very humble pastors. But he wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Church, and there he used memorable illustrations. There we go. I have my good friend who's a very good surfer. So surfing, the illustration of a surfer. Speaks about surfing the waves. Now, a surfer doesn't manufacture a wave. He has to wait, he has to observe, he has to recognize, and he has to learn to catch and ride the wave. Often, most of what the surfer do is that. That's what they do most of the time. Sometimes they enjoy the wave and it takes, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, maybe a minute, but most of the time they're in the water waiting. What a beautiful illustration of, how are we in that posture of waiting. As a church, we shouldn't manufacture waves. We have to learn to see when the wave is coming, how we can catch it, how we can surf it, and at times, when the wave dies out, how we move to the next. So our role is not to create waves, it's to spot them, to catch them, and to ride them well. And building on that analogy, Rick Warren and his church have learned to live out of 5 key principles that help them stay in the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. First, don't try to build your own waves. God is the one who sends them. Train yourself to, Don't try to build waves, God sends them. Train yourself to recognize them through prayer, through waiting, through discerning, through being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Use the right equipment. As you see the wave coming, then develop a team, a tool, a strategy that will help you catch that wave. Practice balance. This is about staying faithful to the gospel, Christ-centered, but also being relevant to whatever the context God is bringing, adapting to God's movement. And finally, and so important, learn to get off dying waves. When God shifts, we must shift with him. And here's what they discovered. The more they learned to ride God's waves, the more waves he sent. Agents of the kingdom, agents of God's reign, living under his leadership and extending his ways into the world. Empowered by the Spirit, centered in Christ, and kingdom-shaped. Our calling is to learn to align everything we do with that kind of life, that kind of priorities. In a sense, to mirror the ministry of Jesus as if he was with us today, because he is, through his Spirit. If he was here, standing here today, it is that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's worth all our energy, yours and mine. It's worth all our life, yours and mine. To learn to catch those waves of the Holy Spirit and to let go of the ones that are dying, even if it's hard. I like the picture there, sorry. Let's have that picture. So in conclusion, Jesus is risen. That's what we've explored in the last few weeks. Today, Jesus is ascended, exalted, enthroned. All authority has been given to him, and he has gifted his church with all it needs to do his will on earth today. From that place of power, Jesus has poured his Spirit, not so that we can pursue our own dreams or chase our own agendas, but so we can live under his leadership and carry out his mission with his power. When we align with his purposes, when we walk in his ways, when we rely on his Spirit, we will see life and growth and power in our lives and in our local churches. And today we are just reminded also that God is sending you and me to places that only you and only me can reach. So would you this week pray for those 5 people regularly? Ask God for chances to speak, to serve, to shine. Be alert to the door that he might open, the conversation that he might start, initiate, and to watch for the wave of his Spirit, to learn to catch it, to ride it, and even to enjoy it. And as a church, let's continue to pray and to commit ourselves. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Let's be a people who don't just watch the waves of God's Spirit passing by. Let's be a one that recognizes them, catch them, and ride them for his glory. Let's pause and pray. Ascended Jesus, you have been given all power and authority in heaven and on earth. And you have called us to be your witnesses right here, right now. Lord, have mercy. Give us courage to repent, to face what is fruitless, to turn from what is wrong, and to lay down what is self-centered. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, present in us, powerful among us. Free our worship, ignite our evangelism, breathe life into our discipleship, shape our ministries, and unite our fellowship. All for the glory of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and reigning Savior. Amen.